Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what vows and flaws that we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Sleeper, all 3,000 of them. Yeah, they're all back there. Hey, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm busy, Jeremy. I'm plotting how I'm going to single-handedly defeat the New World Order on a budget of $10.17.
Shit, you're doing better than I am. I think I got 72 cents in account one, and oh, I think I'm negative 970 in account two, but hey, I'll just work through it. You know, we're all going to be broke sooner or later anyway with the New World Order ushered in. Yeah, that's coming. Hey, everybody, we got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk about the railway strike that was going to happen basically tonight at midnight. That's not going to happen now. And you can cheer on Joe Biden. He's certainly taking credit for that, for stepping in and claiming victory for prevention. And then we're also going to get into some conversation about, I went to this Minnesota State Capitol this last weekend, and had an interesting conversation with Jesse the Body Ventura. And that one you don't want to miss. And we'll talk, we're going to talk about some censorship issues with Facebook, and I'm on account warning again. Yeah, it just doesn't stop. And, yeah, we're just going to get into a multitude of conversations tonight. And don't forget, if you want to call in and you want to share your opinion, join the conversation, you are more than welcome to do that. And that guest call-in number, I'll say it now and I'll say it again a couple different times just to remind you. So grab a piece of paper and a pen, and you can call in at 516-387-1733. And when you call in that guest call-in number and you want to talk, make sure that you press the number one. That lets my switchboard know that, hey, I want to talk. So that number again, 516-387-1733. And before we get started, let me just play this little intro, okay?
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Bolsnot new.
So that's Bolsnot. Go and check out them on Facebook at Bolsnot. Just like it sounds. yeah, it's an interesting name, but I tell you what, I used their products this last week, and damn, are they good. So moving on, I want to get right into what would have happened if the railways would have went on strike. And me and Chris are just going to kind of have a conversation about this, because this could have been bad for the country. And I think the Biden administration knew that, and they knew that they had to save this at all costs. The last time the railway went on strike was back in 92, and that lasted for 2 days until Congress intervened and George Bush Jr. Signed the, I remember what the bill was called, something like get back to work or go back to work or some, I can't remember what it was called, but, they prevented that from going on any longer than 2 days. Basically what the government did this time was step in and adhere to their demands. Railway workers, from what I understand, weren't given time off for medical appointments. They weren't given any time off. They basically were on call 24/7 all year long, and that's not right either. But we have to remember, you know, the railways now, if they would have shut down, people don't understand that 90% of diesel exhaust fluid for the trucks, which is basically anything newer than a certain model year, has to have diesel exhaust fluid. That would have shut down a good majority of our industry with a shortage of diesel exhaust fluid. Now, obviously it didn't happen. I was getting a little bit nervous about it, but, you know, I did a video about it talking about if the railways ain't running, the railroads ain't running, they do haul some of our diesel fluid. I know a good majority of it's piped into distribution centers or whatever you want to call them through pipeline. We have existing pipeline in this country that's pretty massive. And it goes right to a terminal for Exxon or whoever, and then they add their additives in to make their special blue fuel blend. But some of that is still hauled by rail. And people are like, oh, that ain't going to affect us. That ain't going to affect me. But listen, our country is so fragile right now. The supply line has been just damaged by, I believe, by this administration's policies. And if that would have happened, this would have hurt our country really bad. You have to remember that not only our fuel, I'm just talking about their fuel just to get to the truck so we could haul more goods, but the railway hauls a lot of bulk material. Let's for instance, tomato paste that goes on pizzas. Well, the cheese that I haul to the pizza plant is no good if they don't have the tomato paste to put on the pizza. You know what I mean? So this had implications that it could have really hurt the trucking industry and our economy in the tune of $2 billion of the name of that GDP a day?
Gross domestic product?
Yeah. My tongue, it does circle sometimes, and I'm just a big dummy, but I do research a lot of stuff, and I pay attention to a lot of stuff. But, no, I just wanted you all to know we were on the verge. I mean, they already shut down long-term or long-distance Amtrak routes. There was another railway. I don't remember where the hell was the Southern. I don't remember, but they shut down their bulk transfers and all that stuff. So they were already preparing for a strike. So this is going to still affect us a little bit because, you know, they stopped delivery of a lot of stuff here for at least a day. So it's going to suck for a little bit. I mean, so don't think that just because they didn't strike that everything's good and dandy. But yeah, I mean, what's your take on all this, Chris?
Well, let's see here. I mean, had they actually gone through with the strike, you know, most of the trucks on the road nowadays, they don't move if they don't have diesel exhaust fluid in. So they would literally have to, and a lot of our diesel exhaust fluid goes by rail car. So they would literally have to pull trucks of the regular market to prioritize the movement of diesel exhaust fluid by truck, by tanker trucks, just so that we could keep the rest of the trucks going, but they wouldn't be able to get enough. And of course, everything around you, everything you see, everything you touch at some point got delivered somewhere along the way by a route, you know, by a truck, whether the truck took it to a railhead, took it off the railhead, off the ship, out of the shipyard, whatever. I mean, things still go by truck eventually before they get to market. So it would have affected everything, your food, your fuel, clothing, groceries. I mean, everything would have been affected. So that would have been a really, really heavy strain on the economy. And here's another one. Here's another hot item that moves a whole lot by rail: coal. And despite the Green New Deal and all the attempts to green the grid, we're not there yet. The majority of electricity in this country is still produced by coal. So you put the strain on the movement of coal, and, well, now guess what's happening? Now you're getting even more power outages when the coal starts running dry. So, I mean, it's the same scenario with trucking, where in just a matter of a few days, you've got serious problems. You get serious problems if the trucks aren't moving. You get serious problems if the trains aren't moving. The only thing that gets me, and I know I talked to you about this, I kind of elaborated a little bit about it on my own Facebook page, is the same lefties that were calling the truckers terrorists when we were, you know, trying to organize a trucker strike are out there applauding the rail workers that were wanting to strike. So I guess, you know, they can shut down the economy and starve people out and cause, you know, rolling blackouts of electricity, and they're heroes. But if we strike and we do it, we're terrorists. I love that double standard.
Yeah, no, and here's the thing. I did a video on TikTok about this last night. Also, is Joe Biden made a statement asking truckers and ships and airplanes to pick up the slack if there was a railway strike. And my video's content was basically saying, listen, jackass, the truckers have been asking you to ease regulations in the trucking industry for however many years. And not only do you not ease them, you just add more to them. Now we have the ELD, now, you know, the hours of service. Well, you can only run 11 hours a day. But, oh, wait, there's an emergency, so we're just going to let those hours of service all the way through the pandemic, as a matter of fact. You guys go ahead and run as long and hard as you need, but on that one run. What I understood it as is if you picked up a load in California and you needed to run straight through to get that product to New York City, you were allowed to do that. But as soon as you delivered that load, you had to take a 10-hour break. That's what I understood it as. Now, even like when there's a hurricane or fuel shortages for heating fuel in the wintertime, they lift the hours of service conveniently when people need stuff. They need it, so you guys are safe to run. Just do what you need to do. But when I need to run an extra 2 or 3 hours to pick up another load, potentially add another $500 to $1,000 on my check for the week, I'm not allowed to do that, right? Because it's not deemed an emergency by our government. So who's right here? You know what I mean? And I see we got a caller. I want to bring Taylor on the phone right now. Taylor, you are on the air with the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. How's it going tonight, my brother?
How's it going, man?
I'm good.
I just wanted to call in and say hello and thank y'all for being some hardcore patriots, man. You guys are real impressed me, and y'all are awesome. Just wanted to come over and say that.
Hey, we appreciate that, Taylor. You know that, brother.
Your patriotism, man, it just never stops, man. You guys are just hardcore, just practice what you preach. Just impressive, man. I just wanted to just come up here, just say thanks, man, just for just being awesome.
Well, thank you for everything that you do, too. I don't think none of us get enough thank yous. Not that we're looking for it, but, you know, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a conversation with a gentleman you know today, actually, just about 2 hours ago. His name is Mario, Mr. I-Trucker.
Yeah, I know Mario.
Good guy.
Yeah. I-Trucker. And then Margaret both. You know, I tell everybody, Mario and Margaret are the two things, people in my cartoon world of thoughts that I think of when somebody says immigrant. Living the American dream. You know, they both come here from another country the legal way, work their asses off to become something in life. You know what I'm saying? And they're both successful people. And you can't help but be proud of them, you know, just proud to know them because they're just good people.
Not only are they good people, not only are they successful people, like you said, they're good people.
Absolutely.
Very down to earth, and I really enjoyed our conversation with them, and so I thought I'd mention that since I had you on the phone.
I just called the I got your message there. I didn't get your message, but I got a message on Twitter that where you shared the radio show, and I wanted to retweeted it, and I just wanted to come on here and show a little support, man. You guys are doing a great job, and it's really awesome, man.
No, I appreciate it,
I never expected
it, man.
To be on the air. You got to put me on the spot.
Oh, you must have pressed number one. Because
I did.
I seen your hand go up. Hey, even if you wouldn't have, I'd have just thrown you on here just to put you on the spot. Oh, I'm just kidding. But, no, I appreciate you coming on, Taylor. And again, we appreciate everything that you do, and it gets our patriot voices out there, and we can spread the message far and wide and let people understand what's really happening, not only in our country, but in Canada and the world for that matter. And, there's a lot of things happening, and the truth needs to get out there, and this is one platform we can do that.
You know, I want to say one other thing, too, Jeremy. You know, everybody's talking about the train deal, okay? And I get that. Yeah, we need trucks to 400,000 trucks, and we ain't got them. You know, we might have 10,000. I don't know what the numbers are. I ain't never researched it. But you bring up a good topic, or somebody just did, with the coal. Now, I deliver latex. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but anytime they ship coal by rail, they spray the top with latex, same stuff they put in paint. And they do that to control the dust, the coal dust. So I see the coal trains coming in and out of, like, Gillette, Wyoming, which a lot of people don't realize. Gillette, Wyoming is huge coal mines there. And it, actually, they're not mines. They're, like, mountains. And they just take the mountain down. They don't actually go underground, you know. But these trains are, like, 3 and 4 miles long. That's a lot of coal. And this coal, I mean, it's nonstop, dude. Nonstop. The dump trucks that they use to haul this coal from the mine to the train would damn near run over my semi truck like it was nothing. That's how big these trucks are. And so they're producing a lot of coal for these electric companies and stuff, these factories to produce energy. And you know, everybody's worried about goods, but nobody's worried about the electricity. You would think
that's a good point.
People would have broke down the formulas of what is the rail? What does the rail haul the most of? And how is it going to hurt our economy should the rail stop? But see, everybody's so focused on, well, we got truck drivers that could cover should we need to, you know. But what they don't realize is there's no way in hell, dude, we could even just keep up with one mine, let alone all the other mines for coal, for energy. And that was a big, if it would have went down and they'd have run out of coal, you know how screwed we would have been?
Yeah.
And not one person.
Even
the only person that I heard. Even on Twitter, you guys are the only people that I've heard talk about the coal.
That delay is kicking our butts tonight.
Huh?
I said, oh, that delay we have on here is kicking our butts tonight. But I was just adding in that, you know, even if we were able to get enough trucks mobilized to move the same amount of coal, the shipping cost would increase so much that, I mean, it would drive electricity costs through the roof to the point that you couldn't afford to have the electric on.
Yeah.
I just went out and bought some generators, man, just for this problem.
See, and I used to work at a corn processing plant. They made ethanol and high fructose corn syrup and all that stuff. They brought in a lot of coal. I mean, if the railways would have shut down, people don't understand how, you know, during the pandemic, do you remember how everybody was called an essential worker? This one is that, and that one is at the end. The healthcare workers are essential. The truck drivers are essential, blah, 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 blah. What people don't realize is we are all essential. If we don't have truck stop workers, the trucks don't move. If we don't have people to haul the diesel, the trucks don't move, the trains don't move, the factory workers for the pipeline to pipe that diesel or gas to these distribution stations. If we don't have those people, we're all done. We're all essential, and people need to understand. I don't care if you're an office worker, credit card worker, if you're a babysitter worker or daycare or a restaurant worker, gas station attendant, every single one of you are essential. That is the bottom line. But this railway thing, if this would have went through, Taylor, I'm telling you what, that would have hurt our country bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, but hey, Taylor, I appreciate you calling in, brother, and sharing your thoughts on stuff, because it, We need outside, you know, people to call in and say, hey, you're not thinking about this, or, you know, another point of view, because when you have one mind, you just have one thought. You have two minds, you have two thoughts. Now you got three, and there's another issue that we didn't even think about or talk about. So, no, that's awesome.
Yeah, you guys are on top of the game, man. All right, man, I'm just going to sit and listen for a while, so... You guys
sounds good, my brother. I appreciate you calling in. I'll catch you later, man.
See you, brother.
All right, everybody. That was Taylor Barker. We appreciate him, and he does a lot to help out the trucking industry. And I do see that we have another caller here. Why don't we just get them on 4331? I'm going to add you on the air right now. 4331, you are on the air. Who do we have on the air tonight? What would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, you ought to be able to figure it out shortly in the conversation, but you brought up the term essential worker. And I just happened to watch Schindler's List the other day.
Hold on a second. This is the most essential worker right here. This is our friend Lee Schmidt. Hey, hi, brother.
I'm good.
Oh, get into your head.
I was going to say,
and
I just watched Schindler's
and
List.
The boss
you know, that's
the background,
like a,
Lisa.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lee.
That's like once every 7 years. You got to watch that just for the hell of it. And it dawned on me, and maybe it was said during the pandemic, but everybody that was working was called an essential worker, and they had to show their papers. And I knew that when they were saying, you got to have papers to be able to run and prove you're this and that. And I wanted to look at this railroad thing a different way. I wanted them to strike. And I wanted them to strike for the simple fact that there has been post after post after post out here saying, oh, the government can order them back to work. That is the biggest crock of bullshit, crap I've heard. If the government could order people back to work, all these people that have been sitting home on their ass getting checks for the last 200-plus weeks would be working. That is what I wanted. I wanted them to strike.
Well, yeah, because we'll look at back in 92 when the railroad strike, whatever you want to call it. They ordered them back to work. They signed
and
a bill.
And I wanted
George,
them to
George
say,
George W. Bush
go
did.
To hell to the government and tell them, you're not ordering me back to work. Things need to change. Now, do I agree that with the union? Not really. I'm not a union guy. But did the union do things that needed to be done back in the 50s and 40s and 60s? Yeah. But honestly, in my mind, the union looks out for the union. The union doesn't look out for the rank and file. Unless all the people working agreed that they got what they wanted rather than the head cheese saying, well, yeah, you know, this is good for our guys. We'll accept this. You're not them. You're not getting the same pay they are. You know, I wanted people to have pair and stand up and say, no, we're not going back to work until we get what we want, not what the head says.
Let me bring up a point to that. Where was the union when AB 5 was passed out in California? You know where they were? They were lobbying to get that passed because they were pushing for that because that only benefits them. They don't give a shit about you. They don't care about the truck drivers. They care about their bottom line. And they're going to be pushing AB5 nationwide here very shortly, especially you wait and watch. Governor Newsom in California will be the next candidate in 2024, the Democratic nominee. How much I got to bet you? You heard it here
I'm
first
sure
on
will.
The Suspected Truckers radio show.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on. You couldn't possibly be suggesting the Democrats are going to push a rich white guy into the lead spot, could you?
He's going to hire all gay minorities.
Oh, isn't that already happening?
More. He's going to hire more gay minorities.
I mean, listen, I'm not against the LGBTQ community. You know that. Everybody knows that.
I'm not either.
I have no problem with – I don't have a problem with a lesbian or gay. What I do have a problem with is the whole transgender thing. I do believe it is a mental illness, transgender. Like that thing that we have in the office right now, what is it? He's the health – whatever the F he is, dude, it looks like a damn three-ring circus when that guy comes out. And then you get that the press secretary, which she's actually very well-spoken, but you can tell she's lying through her teeth, just like Jen Psaki. So
yeah,
I don't care if you're gay or lesbian. I that doesn't bother me. I don't like when they get these people that are obviously a guy that say they are a woman, have long hair, and high heels, which is going to bring me to my next story about what happened at the Minnesota State Capitol. But That I have a problem with, because that is a mental illness, and I'm convinced of that. And nobody's going to change my mind on that. I knew a person that...
Speaking of that, Madison, or Minnesota Capitol, I was still waiting for you to show the video of the body speaking, and I didn't see it. Did you ever post a video?
No, I had to leave.
Oh.
Yeah, it was very disappointing because I sat there for, I don't know, 4 hours to wait for him to speak. And then I got to speak to him personally, I don't know, for 15, 20 minutes. But they had a special guest speaker, Scott Horton from the Libertarian Party, who they pay him, apparently, they pay him $1,000 a plate at these dinners to listen to him speak. But the fucking guy got into a history lesson. Like, he got up there. I mean, yeah. Listen. He's not a dumb guy. He's a very bright and talented individual. But that kind of speaking bores me to death. I was bored shitless. I was just like, I'm standing there looking at this guy. I'm like, oh, my God, dude. I don't need to know details of what the dog was wearing. You know, really, I mean, good Lord. But he went on and on and on and on. And even Jesse Ventura at one point, I was standing right next to him, and he looks up, he goes, what is this guy doing, giving us a fucking history lesson? Exact out of his mind.
Right?
I'm like, I said, holy, okay, now I'll. But I'll get into what Jesse Ventura said, and I don't know. It was very interesting. The whole day was interesting, and when you hear it, you're going to be like, wow. Yeah, probably something you didn't want to miss.
Yeah.
But
well,
no,
I just wanted to give you my point of view. I wanted to rail the strike because I wanted them to tell the government, no, F you. You can't order us back to work. That's kind of like telling all the truck drivers we went on strike. They'd order us back to work. They would commandeer our trucks. The fuck they would. I've been sitting home since April.
Honestly, I observed all these trucking Facebook pages and all this, and even on my TikTok, it has over 100,000 views from last night, and I started reading the comments on there. You know how many comments people said, maybe the trucking industry needs to stand up the railway, and we should go on strike too. Well, like we talked earlier, we probably would have been forced to go on strike if we didn't get our death fluid. But besides that point, let's just say that we had enough death fluid, we had enough diesel, we had all that. We've been telling you guys this for 4, 5, 6-plus years that the trucking industry holds all the power, but you don't have the balls enough to make a little bit of a sacrifice to stop and say, hey, we want change. We're tired of this shit. They don't have the balls enough.
They didn't even
shut
down.
You know what? Nope. Shoot yourself in the foot.
They got within a day of their strike. If we got a national thing going nationwide and said, we're striking, everybody's shutting down the 10th of October. If everybody actually started parking their trucks 7th, 8th, 9th, you know how fast people would be scrambling by the 9th to get things done?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you know, you know what you have? You have an industry full of selfish, ignorant assholes that here's what they'll say. Well, you go ahead and shut down. Just stay home. I got money to make. That's what they're. I've heard that comment over and over.
Oh yeah,
it's like you don't even get it, dude. You, it just drives me crazy. Like, if you just make one small sacrifice, the money that you say you're making now will double. I guarantee it. If you make a stand with the rest of the industry, but they don't want to hear it. No, because they think $1,500 a week owning your own equipment, and then paying $1,000 for a repair every week when you have a bad run, that's good. I don't. I've had a bad run for the last, I don't know, 5, 6 months. I've probably stuck another $30,000 back into this truck. I'm not okay with the prices of freight right now. I'm not okay with the regulations. I basically just said screw it. I told my dispatch, you know what? I really just want to go out and back. I want to make enough money to pay my bills, and I don't even want to try to get ahead because I can't get ahead. So screw them. If the industry doesn't want to fight for themselves, you know what? Have at her. Good luck. You know, that's my thoughts on it. And look at you. I mean, you've been down since April.
Yeah. Enjoying every minute of staying home.
Having a life.
So,
you know,
right.
look
having a hell of a garden.
Exactly. So. I've been to your place. It's you got the chickens and a garden, and you're enjoying your life, and you should.
Right.
But
and my geese walk on water.
Too. Yeah, your geese walk on water. I got that picture. But look at Chris. You know, Chris makes his final payment on his truck, and it puts a piston through the block. You know?
That's the way it works.
You can't get ahead in this industry when you take this cheap-ass freight and you don't fight for what's right. So, I appreciate you calling in, Lee.
All right, you guys have a good evening.
Yeah, you too, brother. See ya. So that was Lee Schmidt, Lee and Lisa Schmidt, good friends of mine, great people. Lee and Lisa just recently got a request to the FMCSA published and had a commenting period, and now they're waiting for the results on that. And we wish them all the best. Lisa is also the Disrespected Trucker admin on the Disrespected Trucker Facebook group. And that is a full-time job in itself, and we sure appreciate her for doing that. I added a few more admins on that I trust here last night because it's impossible for one person, two people, even I've been involved, but it's so hard to keep up me and Wendy and Lisa that we just got to, if I could add a few more people to take the heat off of the rest of them so they can have a life too, so they're not just constantly glued to Facebook to make sure that the group is okay, you know what I mean? Because after all, at the end of the day, it's just a group. But we do get out some important information on there, and it's important that people get to see that information. What they do with it, well, it's obvious they don't do nothing with it except for criticize and stand down when they should be standing up. But, hey, that's just my opinion. But, oh, boy, we get off on a tangent sometimes, don't we, Chris?
Yeah, we do. You know, you're talking about moderating the Facebook page, and it's so difficult. And even like with our page for the radio show, you know, we kind of got to the point that we don't put much content on there anymore because it's so hard not to offend the Zuckerberg these days. He's just getting more and more sensitive, it seems like, you know, but I think people are starting to see that, you know, now that they've got this censorship power going, that all of a sudden, it's not just conservatives they're going after anymore. You know, now they're kind of waving that wand at some new people too. Have you heard about this?
Well, let's hear about it.
Yeah, so there was a movie that was made. It's not a major blockbuster movie, anything like that. But it was a film about the Holocaust. And the writer of this movie is the son of two Holocaust survivors. And the name of the movie was Beautiful Blue Eyes. And the title took its it was rooted in a child that was a part of the movie, and it was based on a true story of this child with blue eyes that died at the hands of Nazi soldiers during the Holocaust. And apparently there's one particular scene in the movie that also kind of lends to the name, but irregardless, they were surprised when they found out that Facebook had rejected all advertising of their movie because it violated their race policy. And the reason it violated the race policy was because their ads contained content that promoted the idea of someone's being better or what have you, based on attributes accredited to race. basically the problem was the title. They felt that they were advancing racism by saying that someone with blue eyes might be more beautiful than someone else or some garbage like that. And they felt that, okay, this has to be a mistake, right? You know, got picked up by the algorithms, whatever. So they appealed it, thinking that surely, you know, cooler heads would prevail and someone would jump in and stop it. And to their surprise, they got an email back saying that their team had reviewed it and found that it was still in violation of Facebook advertising policy and that they would not be able to advertise that movie on any of the Facebook Meta platforms. And then they even went further. The musician composer who made the title track for the movie under the same name, he also got hit with a notification that he could no longer advertise his music through the Facebook Meta platform for violating community standards. So this should be interesting. This seems like nothing more than an outright attack on the Jewish community, in my eyes. What do you think?
No, I happen to agree with you. Their censorship has gotten horrible. We've talked about this on the radio show numerous times. Big tech and their censorship is out of control. People are like, well, it's their platform. They can do whatever they want. I understand that concept. However, their fact checkers, they admitted in court, are nothing but opinions, but yet they still use that as an excuse to censor you. Exhibit number A, the disrespected trucker. I posted a post about Donald Rumsfeld a day before 9/11 when he put out that they did an audit, the DOD, and they were missing, let me rephrase this, there was $2.3 trillion that was unaccounted for in their budget, $2.3 trillion. Now, in my post, I shared this post, and in there it stated, Donald Rumsfeld stated the day before the 9/11 attacks that the Pentagon was missing $2.3 trillion. Facebook flagged me and put my account in a warning status and said that all of my posts, including the disrespected trucker, any group that I have, I'm an admin on or in charge of, all of my posts will go down to the bottom of the list for their algorithms for the next 90 days. Why? Because they said I was spreading misinformation. Now, I watched the YouTube video of Donald Rumsfeld. It was called the Donald Rumsfeld Report. And he literally said in that video that there is $2.3 trillion that is unaccounted for. That's his exact words. Now, in that post, it said there's $2.3 trillion missing. So they take that, they basically use a word salad. So, well, he didn't really say that. Okay, so he didn't say the exact thing, but he said the exact thing, just using different words. They use that as an excuse to censor patriots, in my opinion, and to censor anybody that goes against what Mark Zuckerberg's political views are, and we all know what they are. They're far left because he's dumped a shit ton of money into Democratic candidates. And it honestly sickens me. You want to run a platform that has as many users as yours does, and you want to censor people? You should be ashamed of yourself because you're no better than what the Nazis were in Germany. No better. Twitter, that includes you. You son of a bitches, you gave me a warning. You gave me a warning because I had another account that I had set up as a backup in case you censored me. So I had to log out of that one because God forbid you have two accounts. But meanwhile, Twitter, Facebook, all these have all these bot accounts. And they have actual bot farms set up that listener look for keywords to put out a blanket statement in the comments. Like, I've read all into this. These people are no better than the propagandists during Nazi Germany, and that is the truth. And people need to understand the things that me and Chris talk about here on the show, and Chris is very well-versed in a lot of things that I'm not, and which is a good thing because that just adds another voice to the things that we're trying to tell you. We're not trying to tell you that your political views are wrong. We're not trying to tell you that you anything. We're simply, there's a lot of the stuff that we say is our opinion, but there's a lot of stuff that we tell you that is fact, and we lead you in a direction. You just go and you look it up. You can go look it up. What were some of the propaganda tools they used in Nazi Germany, Chris? And you're very well versed in this. I want you to just remind our audience so they can compare it to what we're seeing today with big tech and our own government and our own media.
Well, let's see. You know, they really emphasized kind of obedience, you know, duty to your country. They did a whole lot of their own. They called it, I think, control of information. And it was kind of the same thing where they said that kind of what we see going on now, you know, the official Nazi party, which had one party control of Germany, you know, their official stance was that Jews were bad and evil and dirty and unsanitary, and that is exactly what should be taught in schools, they said. And if you were a teacher, for example, that refused to go along with this new curriculum where you taught that this one particular group of people were bad with evil intentions, well, you're out of a job. You're fired. You're canceled. You know, the early cancel culture. So, you know, there was a lot of that going on. They stressed the importance of work, nationalizing the raising of children. You know, they kind of provided some national child care so that moms and dads could be out of the house working and producing for Germany while they took control of the child's minds, you know, took over raising the children, essentially. And I think we're kind of starting to see that as well, you know, with a lot of these struggles with the school boards, you know, where there's literally a debate of basically saying the parents have no place in shaping the opinions, minds, and thoughts of their children, that's the job of the system, the establishment, you know. And so, yeah, you do see a lot of those similarities.
Well, yeah, and look at what they're trying to teach our kids in school now with transgenderism. And you're allowed at 5 years old or six years old, if you decide that you want to be a boy and you're a girl, or a girl and you want to be a boy, they'll start giving you hormone blockers, or you can decide. And if your parents tell you that you can't do that, or, you know, they get charged, or sometimes even the kids get taken away. And it's not happening just here in America. It's happening in Canada also. This is one big it goes back to the World Economic Forum and their Agenda 2021 and Agenda 2030 plans. And it goes right back to Nazi Germany, which we've discussed a million times on the show. It's a divide and conquer scheme, and it's working. You look at the media pushing one narrative. You look at big tech pushing one narrative. That's why people were freaking flipping out when Elon Musk said he was going to purchase Twitter. Did you see all the comments on Twitter when that happened, when the news first broke, about, oh, yeah, now you're going to let the racists get on here and say whatever they want. Now you're going to get on here and let the white supremacists say whatever they want. I have news for you. The white supremacists are sitting in the fucking White House right now. I've heard Joe Biden say the N-word way more than I ever even – there's no documentation, as far as I know, that Donald Trump ever said the N-word. There's documentation. I've watched a video of Joe Biden saying it. Joe Biden, if you don't vote for me, if you're not black. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why would you say that? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But this is the world we live in, and people.
What was that famous quote with Joe, where he said something to the effect of he didn't want his kids going to school in a biracial jungle, something to that effect?
Yeah, that's when they were trying to that was during right after the civil rights movement, I believe, when they wanted to integrate black and white kids in the same school system. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something on the lines of it being a jungle. And I'm like, or the one where, you know, white kids, or how did he put that? That one was really fucked up, honestly. When I heard that, I'm like.
So I know the one you're talking about. He said that poor kids are just as smart and able as white kids.
Yeah, that's exactly it right there.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, guys, how do you not see that these are the truth, the true undercover racists? Is that what you want to call them? Because that's what they are. I've watched Donald Trump interact with minorities, and he's given them a chance. He's everybody knows Donald Trump's a piece of shit. Listen, he might have done some things in his life that aren't up to anybody's moral standard. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot of things he did in his life that I don't agree with. But you know what? I would be the pot calling the kettle black if I sat there and said Donald Trump's the biggest piece of shit, because I've done some shitty things in my life too. And I'm sorry for them. I have not always been a good person either. And I'm far from good yet. But I try to be a better person than I was yesterday. But these people that think Donald Trump is the devil, while Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, I shouldn't say the Democratic Party, but the Democratic administration that we see right now, are just angels sent from heaven, it just blows my mind. And I'm not against all Democrats. I think there's some, like Joe Manchin, I think he's a fine guy. I really think he's a decent a human being. However, he's another career politician. Who knows what he is? Just like Mitch McConnell, just like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And it goes from both sides. We put all our faith in people that we elect. You have to remember, the people that we elect are the ones that spent the most money to convince you to elect them. With special interest money and lobbying groups. The guys that don't get in, the guys that, hell, let's go right into what I was going to talk about with the Jesse Ventura thing. The guy that doesn't that doesn't get in are the Travis Johnsons, the Travis Bull Johnson from Minnesota's District 7. Why doesn't he get in? Because he doesn't have enough money and lobbying support for the advertisement it takes to convince people, to brainwash people, to believe that he's the best guy for the job. And you know what? Honestly, I don't really think the guy wants that. He wants you to listen to him. And I've witnessed this guy firsthand talk to just normal, everyday citizens, shake their hand, look them in the eye, and say, people are tired of the games. And he's got my vote, and I will vote for him come November, because I do believe him to be an honest man. He's down to earth. He's not a ball hanger from corporate America. He comes out and says, this is who I am, and this is what I want to represent you. And if you tell me, a good majority of you tell me that you want me to do this, that whether I believe in that or not, I have to do that because you elected me. That's an honest guy. I'm not even going to call him a politician. That's an honest guy. And those are the people you want to be putting in an office. But, again, they don't get a chance to represent you because you're so damn brainwashed into freaking keep continuing to vote for the same parties, Democrat, Republican. Well, if this guy is going to take a vote against away from the Republican or it's going to take a vote away from the Democrat. No, when you vote your heart and your conscience, it gives you a vote for the guy that you wanted in there or woman. So start voting your hearts and your conscience rather than your fucking party. Wake up. So anyway, let me get into going to the Minnesota State Capitol, and that event was put on by Travis Bull Johnson from Minnesota's 7th District. So I go up to the Capitol, and they had multiple speakers for Defend the Guard. And Defend the Guard is basically taking the power away from the federal government to send our Minnesota, or not our Minnesota, but our guardsmen, state guardsmen, National Guards. It takes the power away from the federal government for the federal government to deploy our National Guards rather than our specialized, like Marines and specialized units in the Army and such, which I believe in wholeheartedly. So I went up there and met Travis and numerous other people. Really, it was a small crowd. It was way smaller than what I thought it would be, but I thought, wow, it's great. Everybody was really cool. At one point, there was a lady, and he invited, by the way, Michelle Fischbach, which is our current representative in Minnesota 7, and she denied. Okay, well, she was too busy probably sucking the teat of the corporate America, because I have not been impressed with what I've seen out of her. And listen, I'm not impressed with the Democratic Party that's running in the state of Minnesota either, especially Tim Walz. He's a tyrant. But anyway, he invited all these different political affiliations, whether Republican, Libertarian, Democrat, the Green Marijuana Party, whatever the hell they call themselves in Minnesota. And this, I seen at one point this lady kind of standing off in a nice dress, slim build, high heels, with purple hair. But she certainly looked like she was somebody that was there to speak. Let's put it that way. So they introduced her, and I don't remember what her name is, and I apologize if I'm wrong about her, but I'll just tell you what I heard. She walks up to the podium, and she gets ready to speak, and I'm looking, and I'm about ready to turn my camera on. I was doing a bunch of live videos that day, and she starts her speech with, here's how it goes. Hi, I'm here to talk to you about, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Now, I'm almost positive that it was a transgender person. Transgender people are people too. I get it, and I understand that. However, I turned around and I just thought, what the fuck is going on here? Like, we you guys want to be taken seriously, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's okay to get that aspect up there and reel in that crowd. But that crowd also represents 4% of Americans. And the 96% that it doesn't represent are not very happy with that 4%. So I'm just saying, it turns people away from the message you're trying to spread. And I'm not saying you should have said, no, you can't speak because you're this or you're that. But Jesus, if you're looking to get, you know, gain momentum on a piece of legislation, I don't know. I still don't know what to think about it. And I feel bad that I'm even being critical about it. But it caught me off guard. Let's just put it that way. So fast forward, we listen to a bunch of different people that are running for office, all just normal, everyday people. That I really do believe there was a really a good group of guys and men and women up there, including a mayor from Eagan, I think, something like that, Eagan, Minnesota. Great people and very intelligent, including Scott Horton, a very intelligent guy. But Scott gets up there, and while Scott was speaking, Jesse Ventura arrived, and I walked down and had a conversation with Jesse Ventura. Now, this is where it gets interesting. I walked up to Jesse Ventura and his assistant. I believe his name is Ty. Nice gentleman. I said, this is exactly what I said. Hey, guys, how's it going? I didn't say, you know, I didn't, get down and lick anybody's boot. I just said, hey, guys, how you doing? And I shook their hand, and I just stood around. And this other gentleman is running for Republican senator or Congress, whatever district, I don't remember. He comes over and was having a conversation with Jesse Ventura. And I eavesdropped. I was probably two people away from Jesse, but I was listening to what he had to say. And the first words out of Jesse Ventura's mouth was, you know, the gases that the cows let off. And I thought, holy fuck, you got to be shitting me. It sounded like AOC, like standing there with a man's voice, but it was Jesse Ventura. But he said, the gases that come from the cows are hurting our environment. Look at the temperatures all the way across. I witnessed last week. In my 70 years of life, I've never seen temperatures like that. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you've never seen 90-degree temperatures? I mean, what? Make it make sense. So I just sat there. I didn't say nothing. But I actually got this on video. And then he goes on to say that he sold his Porsches and he bought two Teslas. And then he installed solar panels on his home, and he produces so much power that XL Energy sends him a check every year for $1,000 because he produces more than what he uses. And listen, good on you if that's, you know, the thing you believe in and you bought Teslas and you're living what you preach. Okay, I can appreciate that. But the methane gas coming out of cows' asses is hurting the environment, and nobody's going to tell me different, is what he said. I walked away right then and there. I turned around and I walked away, and I thought, you know what? That's not the guy I really thought that he was. You know, he's said some crazy shit and done some crazy shit, but I just didn't think that was the guy. I just thought, I can't listen to that guy anymore. I sat there for a little while, and I thought, you know what? I want to see what else he says, because I have to. And that's when me and him got into a conversation. And I thought, holy shit, this is a conversation. Now, he's the kind of guy that when he talks to you, he stands 2 inches from your face. And when you take a step away from him, he takes a step closer. And by the time he was done talking to me, he was an inch. I mean, he probably could have licked my cheek. And I was, I didn't know what to think. I just thought, wow. But I tell you what, here's the conversation we had. At first, we got into, he asked me if I've ever watched the movie Braveheart. And I thought, what the fuck? Yeah, Braveheart. I said, yeah, I love that movie. And I really do like that the one with Mel Gibson. And he says, yeah, I watched that about halfway through. Oh, well, you know what it was? I'm sorry. Let me rewind. The conversation came up because of Queen Elizabeth's passing. And he says, I don't understand in the year 2022 why we still have royalty. Who said that they are royalty? They did. Because they felt they were better than you. They deemed themselves royalty 70 years ago. When she became the Queen of England, they said that she's the Queen of England. Now they say that Prince Charles is now the King Charles. They're telling you that they're king and queen. Nobody voted for that. But they're doing that because they have more money and they are better than you. And he said, In the days of 2022, when we're all fighting for equality, but people still accept, baffles me. And I thought, you know what? That's actually a really good point. I never thought about it that way. And then he asked me, have you ever watched the movie Braveheart? And I said, yeah, I have. I love that movie. And he goes, do you remember when you get to the point with Edward Longshanks? And I said, yeah. He goes, that guy's a fucking creep. I sat back for a step. I wasn't expecting that to come out of his mouth. And he was really loose after that. And we had a really great conversation. I said, you know, Jesse, I've followed you for quite some time. I voted for you when you were governor, and I thought you did a fantastic job as governor. I said, I used to watch your movie or your shows. And he goes, "Oh, which one is that?" And I said, the conspiracy theory show. Well, that time when you had that lady that flew in and to warn people about vaccines. He goes, "Yeah, that happened by accident. I was supposed to meet this one guy. He's a very mysterious guy." And everybody's like, "How the hell did you get to meet with him?" And he put me in touch with her, and she flew in, and she flew out right away and warned us about the vaccines, and that's how they're going to try to control the world. And he says, "Turns out she wasn't, you know, she wasn't telling you what was going to happen or what's happening now. She was predicting the future. She knew." And I'm like, "Holy shit!" And then he went into the time they went to that island. Do you remember what island that was? With that, they have that special laboratory on, the government does, Monkey Island or something like that.
Now that one I don't
anyway.
Recall.
Yeah, well, they went out there to check it out, and he said there was a Suburban on the island that went. They were on a boat, but they were kind of circling the island, and that Suburban would kind of go forward and back, following them around the island, and then the Coast Guard came and followed them around. And they were eventually able to talk to somebody about it. I said, "Doesn't that shit, didn't that make you nervous?" He said, "No. I was the governor of Minnesota." Like, he had that in his head. And I'm like, "Yeah, but I don't give a shit if you're the president. Look what they did to JFK. The CIA, they don't give a shit who you are. They'll take you out if they think you're about to expose something." And he goes, "It's funny you mention that, because I talked to this guy, and I can't remember what he said it was. I wish I would have been recording the whole conversation, because it would have been phenomenal to play on air. But he said, I met this guy, and I think he said the Eagan airport in a airplane hangar. And he said, as I was talking to him, he said, "You know, Jesse, I have a CIA handler." And Jesse goes, "No, I did not know that." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, yes, I do." And he said, we talked a little bit, and he left and he went back to the hotel. They found him dead in his hotel room the next morning. And I said, "So, holy shit." I said, "So what'd you do?" He said, "I called the Eagan Police Department." I believe it was Eagan, by the way. I don't know if that's the right, you know, information, but I think it was. Anyway, he says, "I called the police department, told them that this is Jesse Ventura, the governor of Minnesota, and this is a conversation I had with that guy, and that I thought you should know that if you found him dead, that you should know that." And I said, "So what happened? What was the cause of death?" He said, "I've never found out, and the Eagan Police Department never called me back." And I'm like, holy shit. So that's the interesting story I had with Jesse Ventura. And to finish that story up, that, again, at the beginning of this conversation, Scott Horton had been up on that stage speaking this whole time that I was talking to Jesse. And we're talking 10, 15, 20 minutes. And at one point before I left, Jesse looked at me and he goes, what is this guy trying to give a fucking history lesson?" And we all started laughing. You know, there's like 4 or 5 of us standing there, and we all kind of started laughing. And in Scott Horton's defense, the guy is a very intelligent guy. But you know what kind of crowd he draws in? The intellectuals. He doesn't draw in people, the normal, everyday people like myself. I'm not going to go spend $1,000 to listen to this guy speak. I'm not going to spend $1 to listen to this guy speak. You're not better than me. You might be smarter than me or intellectually superior than I am, but I'm not going to spend money to listen to you bore me. And that's what he did. He bored the shit out of me. And obviously Jesse Ventura too. But the guy was still talking.
I probably
would have
been like, man, that guy was really great.
And you might have. I mean, listen, the guy went into the Scott Horton went into some really great detail. If I could remember what the detail was, because I was so bored, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. But he was talking about Somalia and different things that have happened to lead up to a point that we're at. He was going into the fine detail. And I don't like, just tell me what you're, get to the point with me. You know, I don't want to sit there and listen to, you know, I had a blue shirt on that day, and I decided to have peanut butter and toast, peanut butter toast rather than peanut butter and jelly. And, like, he was going into that kind of fine detail. Like, I don't need to know the fine detail, even though I realize that sometimes the fine detail is what makes the story. But it wasn't – he didn't sell me. But either way, he's more relevant than I will probably ever be, and I don't give a shit. But yeah, so that's a conversation I had with Jesse, and during that time too, that the purple haired lady, whatever, she walked up and puts her hand out to shake Jesse's hand, and she said, "Hi, my name is," and even Jesse, like, he shook her hand, but kind of his body language, like his upper body, like, went back a little bit. He didn't take a step back, but his upper body, it surprised him, like it did me when she got on the mic. And if that's her real voice and she's a real woman, I apologize for being an asshole, but I have my doubts, because that was pretty obvious almost. But I mean, yeah. So I don't know, Chris. We were at the same steps that I met you at in St. Paul. Well, you left right before we went to the Capitol, didn't you?
Yeah, because we had. Oh, what was it? Hastings? Is that where we all started that convoy, I think? Hastings or South Center, somewhere like that. Yeah, and we had convoyed from there, and then we stopped at a staging area there close to the Capitol. And, yeah, I had already delayed my delivery by a day to do that, and I really needed to get out of there so I could complete that delivery without making my broker too angry with me. And so, yeah, once we got to that staging area, when you guys pulled off and headed towards the Capitol, I had to get back on the highway and get back to work.
Yeah, no, and at that point, what Chris was talking about, the staging area is about roughly two blocks away from the Capitol. And Chris had jumped back in his truck at that point. But that was the first event that I have ever done, my friend Tony has ever done. I don't know about yours, Chris, but we met Chris in Hastie, Minnesota. It was a trucking protest to protest ELDs with Black Smoke Matters. And I think we had like eight or nine of us that did that. And we ended up driving our trucks. We had the proper permits, but we ended up driving our trucks right up to the stairs of the Capitol in Minnesota. And that's the first event I was ever involved with. And that's actually where I met Chris. And that was about a little over 4 years ago. So that's a little history of how me and Chris met. I've been at that Capitol. This is the last week, it would have been my third time I've been there. That the first time was with Chris. The second time was last October. I went up there to stand with the healthcare workers protesting mandates, vaccination mandates, because a lot of them were losing their jobs, and something now we now know with a recent Harvard study that proves that the vaccines are worse for you than if you actually caught COVID. And then I went back up there last weekend, so that's my third time at the state capitol of Minnesota for the last 3 years, 4 years, I'm sorry. So yeah, that. I tell you what, every event that you go to, it just gets more interesting when you stand up and try to fight for what you believe is right. And what you believe is right may not be what I believe is right. So, and that's okay. You know, we don't have to agree on each other. I applaud anybody that stands up and makes a stand for what they believe is right, unless you're wrong. Oh, shit, Chris. So, no, we've, you know, in the trucking industry too, and in the advocacy that we've gone through, Chris has done numerous slow rolls. Chris has got, you should tell him that story, when you guys, when that black SUV was following you. Well, you should tell that story. I think people would be interested in hearing that.
Oh, man. Okay, you're really going to make me sound like a paranoid schizophrenic here. But, yeah, so this was crazy. So there were some we had enough momentum in that movement back then that it was really starting. A lot of people were really concerned that we were actually going to pull off a very large trucker strike. And that really put us on the Fed's radar. And there were some members of leadership within that organization that got visited by federal agents, and not necessarily like your FBI type people, like guys in suits that just knew way more about you than they should, and that wouldn't even identify what agency they were a part of. And I'm not going to name any names or locations or anything, but there was some freaky shit that happened with that whole thing. I'm going to tell you, the one guy I was talking about, he got this whole speech back in 2019, it was 2018. He got this whole speech back in 2018, warning that basically they needed to back off, that we needed to back off and not pull this strike off. And they started describing how 2020 was going to get crazy and that there was going to be intense coast riots. And they went on to describe everything that happened in 2020 to this guy. And I remember having the phone call with him after he had had that meeting with them. And he was telling me all this crazy shit that they told him. I'm like, man, that sounds like a Hollywood movie. That doesn't sound real. He's like, I'm like, I don't think these guys were even, you know, feds. I think you got visited by a couple of crazies that looked you up on the internet or something. But anyway, so that strike didn't happen, but we didn't stop. We had other events planned. We were still fighting to get the federal government to relinquish some of their unconstitutional control that they were taking. And I will just say, I am not going to go into any detail. I will just say we were in the midst of planning something very big. And it was going to happen on the Eastern Seaboard. We were going to combine it kind of with 10-4 on DC, but we were going to be very separate from them. And we were actually going to go somewhere else along the Eastern Seaboard, very populated. And we were going to do something that was going to get international media attention. Nothing violent, nothing harmful, anything like that. But it was going to get some attention. And the powers that be, I think they got wind of that, and they did not want that to happen. And so the funny thing is, I didn't start noticing this until we had pretty much already scrapped that whole plan. It got blown open wide, and somehow all these big plans turned into a barbecue in Mississippi. You know what? You can't make this shit up. That's a true story. We had this big plan, and one of the key players involved got frustrated and said, to hell with it. We're not doing any of it now. We're going to go down to this farm in Mississippi, and we're going to drink beer and barbecue instead. And that's what they did. We'd already scrapped the plans when all of a sudden I started noticing that there was a – and this is the part that sounds crazy. I kept seeing this black SUV, and I swore it was the same one. And I would drive from, you know, the Chicago area down to Indianapolis, and this thing would pass me on the way down there. Wouldn't think nothing of it. And then the next thing I know, like, I come back from Indianapolis. I'm sitting on 294 in Chicago rush hour traffic, and the same damn SUV is beside me in a traffic jam. And I mean, this guy looks like every, you know, stereotypical Hollywood vision you have of a federal agent. I mean, you know, handsome guy, clean cut, you know, shirt and tie. He's in this sparkly, clean black SUV with good interior. And he's got a computer on his center console and everything else. And I'm like, okay, I know this is the same dude that passed me on the way to Indianapolis like 8 hours ago. And so I'm like, okay, that's weird, right? Didn't think, but I dismissed it. And then there was two other cars that I kind of noticed that seemed like they kept popping up right beside me. And I was like, okay. I'm like, I'm losing my mind here. So just to make sure I wasn't losing my mind, I grabbed a piece of paper. And every time the next time I saw each of those three vehicles, I went over, I grabbed that sheet of paper, I wrote down their license plate number so that I could verify. And sure as shit, I kept seeing these same three vehicles catching up to me and passing me on the road. I verified it was the same damn license plate number as the other cars I'd seen. They were making it extremely obvious. And what they would do, a lot of times they'd catch me off guard. I'd be cruising along, and all of a sudden I would realize, you know, your peripheral vision, you realize there's a car that's beside you matching your speed. And I would look over, and it would be one of those cars. And as soon as I turned and looked at them, they would take off. And I'm talking these cars passed me in Ohio when I was on the way to Pennsylvania. I had one of them pass me in South Dakota when I was on my way to Montana, you know, Indiana. I mean, all over the place. And I was like, what in the hell? Because if you've never been, you know, okay, if federal agents are following you, trying to gather evidence on you, see them. You don't know they're there, and they don't drive stereotypical movie vehicles. They don't drive, you know, jet black SUVs. They'll drive regular cars that you wouldn't even pay attention to. They'll drive a blue Toyota Camry or something like that, just to kind of blend in with traffic, and you don't know they're there. So these people were going beyond, over and above, to make sure that I noticed them. And then they would take off, and I even tried to catch up to one of them, but go figure, I was 80,000 pounds, and they sped up to like 90, so do the math on that. But yeah, it was just some crazy times. I mean, that went on for a few months before it finally stopped. But I was always like, okay, that clearly seems to be kind of an intimidation thing, because they want me to know I'm being followed and being really obvious about it. But anyway, now that everybody's written me off as a paranoid schizophrenic, back to you, Jer.
Well, listen, you and I were both involved with the People's Convoy planning, the early stages of it anyway. And to this day, I still get death threats. I got this one psychotic mofo that gets on Twitter, gets on TikTok. He has, for as much as he thinks he's smart, he's not. But he comes out with these videos that are just completely outlandish. And then we, like you and I, even on a radio show one night live, we got a text message, you know, where they said, you know, smoking's not good for you, Jeremy. You shouldn't be smoking. I looked over, there's a car sitting over there. Now, I don't think that car was them. It could have been. I doubt it was them. It's just some random asshole that's using a VPN to harass us through text messaging. And it's honestly, it's the Antifa network that they I've seen my videos. I've seen my personal information posted on Antifa networks. And what they don't even realize is I wasn't a guy that was even after. I could give a shit less about Antifa, really. I could give a shit less about a lot of things. All I give a shit about is what's right. And those mandates were wrong. That's not a free country when you mandate people to do something that they don't want to do. When they were, you know, people were asking, well, what's the long-term effects on this? We don't care. You need to take it or you lose your job. That's communism. You got to do your part to save your neighbor and to protect your neighbor. Now the Harvard study shows that the efficacy rating on these vaccines weren't shit. They didn't work. They don't work. And now they're trying to convince you that you need to take a booster shot for the fifth time. Like, and I think it was either Fauci or somebody said that you probably have to take a shot once every 6 months for the rest of your life. You know, you got to be out of your fucking mind if you think I'm taking a shot once every 6 months to prove that your vaccine works, because it's already failed. I'm not doing it. I don't give a shit if you mandate it on me. Come and get me. I'm not taking it. And there's a lot of people that feel the same way about it. But that's what I stand up for. And that's what Chris stands up. We stand up for what's right, what we believe is wrong. And a lot of the trucking thing, it started in the trucking issues. You know, it started with the ELD mandate. And Chris is out. I see Chris is leaving. You want to say anything before you leave, Chris? Or did you? No, you're still out there. You want to say anything before you leave, Chris?
Oh, no, I'm not leaving. I was just saying good evening to everybody, like hello.
Oh, good evening. I thought you said good. Never mind. Sorry. I was reading the chat, everybody. I'm sorry. Ay. I tell you what, if my head wasn't attached, I'd lose it. Sorry for the misunderstanding. But no, Chris and I have been involved in numerous things, not together, separately for most of it. Actually, probably 99% of it. He was a big part of Black Smoke Matters for quite some time. After Minnesota, when they were planning their big thing in the eastern part of the United States, me and a couple other guys, we started the Disrespected Trucker Facebook group, basically another advocate group. And the reason being is because the leader of Black Smoke Matters at that time, they didn't like some of his antics. And now me and that gentleman are friends. I just talked to him the other day, actually. And there's a lot of people that, you know, still, I don't like how he gives the middle finger. I don't like how he does that. You know what? At first, I didn't either. And I didn't like how, you know, a couple of the people he was involved with acted either. However, being in the advocacy for the last 4 years, I understand it completely now. The frustration level of watching your own industry, like literally watch your industry getting torn apart without standing up for yourselves, but they'll get on Facebook or Twitter or any social media and they'll rip apart anybody that stands up for them, that's trying to make their industry better for them, because they ain't doing it the way they think they should do it. And I've always said, if you have a better idea, come out and show us. But they don't. No, they're Facebook keyboard warriors. That's what they are. And it's sad. You know, and everybody says, well, we got to figure out a way to bring unity. I'm sorry, but the time of unit for unity in this industry, I would love to see it, but I'm at a loss for words or a loss for ideas. I thought by doing things the right way, like when we did our South Dakota Soul Roll, at the same time that Chris and Black Smoke Matters was trying or were going to planning their eastern, whatever they were doing in the eastern part of the United States, me and Chris and Sean, or not Chris, me, Sean, and Tony, we created an event in South Dakota to slow roll around Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and then drive out to the Capitol in support of 10-4 on DC. And we did that because we wanted to do things the right way. And by the right, what I mean by the right way is do it according to the law. We contacted the South Dakota State Patrol. We contacted any proper authorities and let them know exactly what we were going to do. So that's what we did. And the Highway Patrol knew we were there. So did the Sioux Falls Police Department. And we had, I think, 8 or 9 trucks. I spent 12 hours on social media explaining to people on numerous news organizations what we were planning on doing. We were picked up by the AP on that event, and we proceeded to go around Sioux Falls in single file, like we told them we would, about 5 or 10 miles an hour above the legal minimum speed limit, I'm sorry. And that's what we did. And we performed it according to law, and we slow rolled all the way out to Pierce, South Dakota, to the Capitol, and we went to the Capitol, and we talked to the Transportation Secretary, I believe, and Sean actually ended up going to a Senate hearing talking about platooning. So we've done it. We've done it right, and I have no regrets for the things that we've been involved with. But like I said, I'm friends with Black Smoke Matters, a lot of people that were involved in that. There's a lot of infighting still to this day with numerous other people, and I am not really interested in that.
Yeah,
and Chris,
there's a
Chris, I do
group
I want
of us. I was just going to say,
Chris, I do
want to. There's just certain
I got to bring up something real quick, dude. No, yeah. I got to bring up something. So if you look at our chat, if you're looking at it, are you looking at it?
Let me pull that back up. No, because I'm working on my phone, so I'm switching back and forth between.
Oh,
screens,
I got
you.
So
let
I
me
got
pull
you.
It up now.
Well, just for our audience, the shithead I was talking about earlier that has made some outlandish comments and videos, and his name is Bringing It Boy with the two double E's. He's Antifa, and he thinks he knows exactly who I am. So I was charged with third-degree felony assault back in 2005 or 7 or something like that, and he's made a video and called me a domestic abuser. And I said that, I think I briefly touched on it last week or 2 weeks ago. And there, like I told you, the audience, you know, I'm not proud of the things I've done in my past, but domestic abuser is not one thing that I've ever done. That third-degree domestic assault happened when I punched a guy in his jaw, and I broke it with one punch. And because I broke his jaw, they charged me a third-degree felony assault for causing major bodily harm. So seeing that this douchebag is on here.
I don't see him.
No, he joined the conversation. He said hello because that's what he does. He Mr. Intimidation, but he doesn't intimidate me because he's a punk-ass bitch. So I deleted his comment because, honestly, we don't need his ass on here. He can go fuck off somewhere else.
He was making some we removed him one night because he was making some racist statements.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is my first time. The fuck it is, you lying sack of shit. Get the fuck off our radio show, douchebag. I've seen that name on here before. I know who the fuck he is. He texted me, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and he said, see you on your radio show tonight. Like, you ain't going to see me on my radio show. Dude, I'm not doing that shit. I'm not playing that game. But no, enough of that. Sometimes you give people too much attention and they go with it. So,
he's trying to be slick, but he changed the spelling of Bring It Boy because I'm pretty sure before he was spelling boy B-O-I when we removed him for making the racist comments.
Yeah, you remember too.
Yeah,
so this is on our chat, ladies and gentlemen. You guys can't see this, but this is the kind of shit we have to deal with. And honestly, like I said, me and Chris have never been in this to hurt anybody. We've never done it to be violent. And we're not those kind of people. People, they get influenced by media. They get influenced by political views and so on and so forth. I blame a lot of our issues in this country on our media and on our politicians for not standing up and doing the right thing and having a little bit of integrity. You know, when you've done something wrong, you can admit it. Like just a few minutes ago, I said, yeah, I got charged with third-degree felony assault. I plea bargained down. I pled guilty. I paid my restitution of $13,000, and they dropped it down to a gross misdemeanor. And I regained all my civil rights back because of that. But I stood up and did what I believed was right at the time. There's a whole explanation behind it, and I'm not going to get into it because it happened 17 years ago. And I really, it's something in my past I'm not proud of, and it's over and done with. And I completed what the courts suggested I do and required me to do. And that's the end of the story. And if you want honesty out of me, I will. If you hear something about me, I will tell you if it's true or not. If I did something and I was wrong, I will admit it. And everybody that knows me personally knows that. So, boy, I tell you, it just goes from one thing to the next. But no, me and Chris have been involved in numerous different things. The slow roll in Chicago that one time you guys did. How many trucks did you guys have involved in that? Like, was there like 300 or 400? That was when we were down in.
Indianapolis was a couple. The biggest one. But
Indy?
Chicago had a big impact, though. We had, I think we had about four, by the time it was all said and done, we had about 45 trucks and then a bunch of people in their personal cars and pickups. So we stretched out a pretty good distance on the highway, but our destination was Trump Tower, and the powers that be weren't going to let that happen. Which is just
kind
of funny.
Me and Tony actually watched that live on video. If you recall, Carla was riding with you in the passenger seat, and so Jeremy Johnson says this.
Yeah,
I don't remember what I said, but.
Yeah, no, that was good times, and that was actually getting some national live coverage as well. WGN Channel 9 Chicago. They actually had a helicopter up in the air that was doing a live feed on us. They were following us. They had started following us from Monique when we were coming up 57 heading into the city. And, that was good times. And we didn't have to park our trucks or nothing because the Illinois State Police and the Chicago Police Department shut down all access to downtown Chicago for us. So... They did a much better job than we could have done.
How many escorts do you think you guys had? There had to have been 20. Like, their lights on,
there
they were riding beside you.
Yeah, we had several beside us, some behind us, one in front of us. They were parked along the shoulder of I-57. Like, every couple miles, there'd be one or two state troopers sitting there. And, once we got into Chicago, the Chicago Police Department, they literally had, like, probably anywhere, for depending on the size of the off-ramp, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6, you know, police cars completely blocking the off-ramps. And they literally did that for every single off-ramp that gave access to downtown Chicago. And they had additional units behind them as well. I mean, there were no less than 200 law enforcement officers involved in keeping 40 bobtail trucks from going to truck house. And all we were going to do
and
was drive by it and blow horns.
What people need to understand is that's kind of when the rocky water started with you and Black Smoke, because you had come out and made a statement that you were going to seek legal counsel because they blocked your First Amendment rights of peaceful assembly. Sorry. And even my mom actually said they can't do that according to our Constitution. They cannot allow you to not get, or they cannot tell you that you cannot get off. And you were right. And I really wish that you guys would have went through with that. And hindsight's always 20/20, so I'm not trying to be critical to anybody from Black Smoke. But if you look back at that, just like they did in Washington, D.C., with the People's Convoy. Oh, absolutely. And the People's Convoy, it happened to them in D.C. And this time, they filed suit. And they are currently, there's a current lawsuit pending with the city of Washington, D.C. You cannot block people's free will of travel. Nobody did anything wrong. They just didn't want you guys there. That you guys were going to take in Chicago was on a legal truck route.
Yeah.
Around
Plaza. Yeah, I had cleared that with the city engineers and confirmed, you know, clearance height. And that the streets were truck routes and everything, and we were going to be occupying one lane. The excuse they used was that they told us East Ohio was an emergency vehicle route, but East Ohio Avenue is also like 4 lanes wide, and we were only going to be in one lane, and I told them we were only going to be occupying one lane. And people talk about, oh, you guys could have – no, we wouldn't have. I'm sorry. There's a lot more trucks than that go through East Ohio Avenue on a daily basis going to the various construction projects in downtown Chicago. So we would not have placed any undue burden on the traffic flow in downtown Chicago. We would have been on legal truck routes. Like I said, we were going to spin past Trump Tower, honk some horns, and we were going to have some people there, you know, parking their cars ahead of us to kind of wave some flags, banners, and you know, such. And that was it. And yeah, they came in and shut down all access. And not just for us. I mean, nobody could get off of the interstates and go to downtown Chicago that morning because they had everybody blocked. So they created a much bigger traffic mess, you know, than we ever would have even come close to scratching the surface of with what they did. But it is what it is.
Oh, absolutely. And I just got a message from Lee, and the teen people, 13 individuals filed suit against D.C. because of what happened down in D.C. with the People's Convoy, not allowing the trucks to get off to roll down Constitution Avenue. Now, if you all remember, or if you don't know, let me refresh your memory. Back in 2020, we were involved with going down to D.C. on Constitution Avenue, in which case we had over 100 trucks at any given time sitting on Constitution Avenue for 3 straight weeks. They did not want to see that happen again. And also remember that the People's Convoy was on the heels of the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa, Canada. And there's another show on this network on Unplugged 7 that is on Monday nights. Chadio from Canada and also Michael, he's from Texas. But I'm in contact, and that show is called Patriots United, by the way. They are on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Basically, it's a Patriot show. It's similar to ours, but a little bit different. They have their own format, and they talk about numerous subjects and have different guests on, too. I highly suggest you check them out. But the point I was trying to make is I got involved with the Ottawa the Freedom Convoy, not like personally, like physically involved up there, but I started getting in contact with them. Like Tamara Leash, I was her Facebook friend before I got booted off of Facebook. Brian Brazzi actually talked to what the hell's that? What was the other guy's name up there that I don't even hear a word out of that guy anymore? Oh, for Christ's sake. The name's on the tip of my tongue. Can you just read it quick, Chris? You know who I'm talking about, that big burly fellow from Canada. He was very popular up there during the Freedom Convoy. Yes, Pat King. Thank you. Sorry. And I apologize to Pat King because Pat was very instrumental in getting all that going up there too. But like Rooster, I have Rooster's phone number. I haven't talked to Rooster now for a couple months, but numerous people up in Canada that I've had contact with. And so much so that we decided to do a slow roll up from Fargo, North Dakota, up to Pembina, North Dakota, which is right on the border. And we started with 4 trucks, and we ended up there with like 150 people in personal cars and different trucks. And we met another group of them up there, and it was fantastic. It was a show of unity between two countries. And not once have we ever done anything in the trucking industry to cause harm to anybody. We've done it to get our message out. But the government does not like anybody going against what the government is doing, regardless if you do it peaceful or you do it violently. Obviously, when we left D.C. in 2020, the George Floyd incident happened that Memorial Day. We left like 3 days before Memorial Day. 3 days after we were 4 days after we left, Washington, D.C. turned into a war zone. They were spray painting the World War II Memorial. They were doing some really crazy shit all the way across the country. As you know, Minneapolis, billions of dollars of damage. People were murdered. That whole summer of 2020. Yeah. The whole summer of 2020 in every major U.S. city, there was rioting. There was, they call it peaceful protesting, but it was far from peaceful. And I can guarantee you can Google search the disrespected trucker and see, or even Black Smoke Matters, for that matter. And you can Google search and you can look back at every event that all of us have done. And you will find that not once was anybody murdered, Not once was there any damage to property, and not once did we do anything illegal. And that you can take to the bank, which is why none of us have been arrested for a damn thing. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, the whole message we were trying to get to the public was that if they feel comfortable imposing these kind of strict regulations on 3.5 million members of the trucking industry, and I remember being quite mocked for this, when I talked about the ELDs and how they were basically tracking devices and how if we allowed this to stand, that it was just going to be a matter of time until they came up with an excuse to start tracking all citizens. Maybe not necessarily through an ELD, but what have you seen? You know, lo and behold, you know, 3 years later, everybody involuntarily had COVID trackers placed on their phones by their cell phone carriers so that they could monitor and track for potential COVID exposure. You remember the trace people, right? What do they call that? The COVID tracing, virus tracing. But we're seeing more of that now. And perfect example of that, and you and I talked about this before the show, you know, we think about the emissions requirements on the commercial trucks and how heavy they enforce that on us. Well, now you've got a guy in New Jersey who had a Dodge Ram pickup truck, and he uses it for some off-road stuff. It's a pretty nice truck up on lift kits and stuff, but he uses it for a lot of off-road competition type stuff. But it was also street legal. But, you know, in order to maximize his power and everything else, he had gone in and he had the diesel particulate filter, the DPF, or the thing that we put the diesel exhaust fluid in. He had that system deleted, which is a lot of truck drivers out on the road that have done that as well, just because it saves you from, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of lost revenue over the life of your truck by deleting those systems. But he had deleted his system, and he made the mistake of he advertised it on Facebook Marketplace that he had this truck for sale, and he listed in the description that it had the diesel exhaust fluid system had been deleted. And the state of New Jersey picked up on that. I don't know if Facebook told on him or if they just monitor Facebook Marketplace for that type of thing. But the state got a hold of him and let him know that his truck was in violation of New Jersey EPA laws and that he either had to bring it into compliance or he had to take it off the road and not run it on the road anymore. Well, he was looking at $10,000 in order to bring it back into compliance with the emissions requirements. So he opted to say, okay, you know what? I won't drive it on the roads anymore. He actually went to the DMV and surrendered his license plates for the truck because they had only given him 60 days. They gave him 60 days to come up with $10,000 to upgrade his system to bring it back into compliance. Or he had to surrender it to you. So he said, fine. He turned his plates in and said, I won't take it on the roads anymore. It's no longer got a valid registration. I'm just going to use it for off-road competition. Well, that wasn't good enough. They came back and said, no, you either have to get it in compliance by the date we gave you, or you have to take it to the salvage yard and have it crushed and provide proof to us that it was crushed and destroyed. So he caved in. He doesn't have the 10 grand to spend to put that system back in place. So he has agreed to go and have it crushed. And that's the type of stuff we're talking about. You know, that went from they were only enforcing it on the trucking industry to now common everyday guy.
Yep. Welcome to the tyrannical government. So I, before we get to our final, whatever you want to call it, our craziness, where, you know, Chris does his thing, and I do my thing, and then we basically give you our final statements. I'm scrolling through our – Chris, are you on our okay, never mind. I got it. So before we get on to the final part of our show, I'm going to go to our chat for Spring and Boy, the one that we claim that was the guy that may have been the person that has been harassing us. If you're not, I do apologize. My recollection is it was you, and if it wasn't, I do apologize. But he did say, I heard that one of the drivers in the People's Convoy, the Freightliner, and that he was driving, well, he had a Penske rental truck, and Penske did not agree with that rental truck being in, or a Penske truck in the convoy. They did threaten to shut the truck down, disabling the truck. How do you put that? Remotely. There we go. Sometimes I have a twisted words. But yes, they did threaten him, and he ended up getting a different truck to drive to the People's Convoy, and he did end up leaving. There was some controversy surrounding that. I still don't understand that. I don't understand what was going on there. There's been so much controversy. People think they don't know this, and it's something else, and it's really honestly ridiculous. But before me and Chris get to our final statements, I do have to play a few ads here. Just hang on, and we're going to get back. We're going to finish this out with a little bit more controversy, if you will. So give me 1 minute.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Olsnot new.
Boy, oh boy. I tell you what, Bolstadt does make a damn good product. I just made a live video about it the other night, and I used their window spray, and I used their dashboard cleaner and stuff, and holy Lord, I sprayed my windows, and you want to talk about a really good window cleaner? And I'm not saying that because they sent me free window cleaner. I'm telling you this because I've used Windex. I've used different products. This is really a good product. I was honestly really surprised. I don't know, Chris. Why don't you start our finishing statement? And work on glass. Yes, it works on glasses, and it works on any. It's a fantastic product. I'm telling you guys this. It's awesome. But Chris, why don't you go ahead and? No, it doesn't. Like I sprayed the windows down, and I'm thinking, you know how Windex and some of that other spray you get, you wipe it, and then you got to wipe it again, and then you got to spray it again because it's streaked, and then you got to wipe it again. Dude, you spray your window, and you wipe it. It's done. It's clean, and it's like wow. So yeah.
Yeah, I use it on it on my device screens as well, but yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I use it on my ELD too. One more thing, guys.
TruckerTaxTools.com, the trucking industry leader for your taxes and bookkeeping. Simplify bookkeeping with the Trucker Bookkeeping app.
Can you take a picture with your phone?
We know you can. Download the free app at TruckerTaxTools.com and then point, shoot, and send. It's that simple. Or you can call us at 877-966-2477 and we'll get you started. Download the app, TruckerTaxTools.com.
Keep it simple. TruckerTaxTools.com.
That's TruckerTaxTools.com. And yeah, listen, guys, as the show grows and we get a little bit more popular, we're all going to have to deal with just a little bit of advertisement, and as we should, because these are the people that keep us on air, and we appreciate them. TruckerTaxTools.com, and also Bolstad. Find them on Facebook at Bolstad on Facebook, and you can see their product, and they'll give you the information of how to find it. On that note, thank you, Bolstad and TruckerTaxTools.com. We appreciate you. Thank you for doing everything that you do to keep us on air live so we can keep on spreading the truth. So, Chris, why don't you go ahead and do a recap of the show and give your final thoughts?
All right. Well, you know, the one thing we didn't get to tonight, and it's way too complicated of a subject to even try to cover in 5 minutes, so maybe we can get to it the next show, is the good old state of Illinois and their what they're calling the Safety Act. And we will get into it another time. But I will say this, as you look at what that bill does and you look at a crime map of where most of those crimes are occurring, I'm here to tell you the neighborhoods that are going to be most impacted, most heavily impacted by that legislation in Illinois are going to be high crime minority neighborhoods. And here the Democrats are pretending to do a favor for the minority races. And in effect, essentially what they're saying is they are just going to reduce the amount of protection they're giving them. As far as I'm concerned, if it ever gets challenged on the 14th Amendment level, I think it'll lose. But anyway, like I said, it's a very complex subject, so we can get into that another time. But yeah, you know, I mean, it is what it is. The world's going crazy. It's a big dumpster fire, and we are we're just trying to wake some people up one at a time, two at a time, whatever it takes. But slowly but surely, I think a lot of the truth is beginning to get out there. You know, a lot of the things that we say now aren't viewed as being as crazy as when we were saying it a couple of years ago. And the vaccine truths are slowly beginning to circulate. There's still a lot of believers out there running around. And, well, I call the people that are all in line heavy duty with the COVID restrictions that aren't even in place anymore, but they're still abiding by them. I really think that it has become a religion of its own. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know what I'm talking about. But I know we're short on time here, so I'm going to give you the last couple minutes.
All right. I appreciate it, Chris, and thanks again for everything you do for the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And listen, people, this work, this radio show, there's multiple wheels, cogs in the wheel, if you will, that make this thing happen. And it starts with Unplugged 7 for giving us this network to talk to you and to spread the truth. It was given to us after I was booted off of TikTok for the seventh time. I just recently was booted off again for the eighth time with 100,000 followers. I've been booted off of Facebook permanently. I've gotten warnings from Twitter. I've gotten warnings from YouTube. I get warnings everywhere I go because I don't shut my mouth, and I'm not going to shut my mouth. I've been on a Zoom call with Dr. Robert Malone about these vaccines. He's the creator of the mRNA vaccine. He obviously knows what he's talking about. Him and the frontline doctors, America's frontline doctors, have been warning people about these vaccines for a very long time. I read an article in about a study done in the Congo on with remdesivir, and they used remdesivir as the official treatment here in the United States, and it causes 33% of the people that are issued or administered remdesivir, they die of kidney failure or other major organ failure. And I've talked to numerous hundreds of people that have lost their loved ones because of remdesivir. And I'm not going to shut up about it. I've read the studies. I know what the studies say. And just because you don't hear it on media, mainstream media, or social media, it's because they're suppressing that information. And that information will be available someday. It'll come out. And you can look this up too, remdesivir, but you have to go to DuckDuckGo or an alternate search source. But as far as tonight's show, the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is we need to stand up together. Quit being pussies. You need to stand up and find your inner strength. You need to stand up. Regardless of how you think somebody is trying to go about doing something, if you agree with what they are standing up for, then go along with it. Even if it's not exactly how you would go about it, the more people that we get to stand up in unity and to help each other, we can fight these unruly and unjust tyrants in Washington, D.C. The federal government, along with the FBI, the CIA, and numerous other government agencies have become weaponized against its own people. This is a collaboration of governments worldwide working together under the order of the World Economic Forum. And all these things that we talk about, you don't have to believe me or Chris, you don't have to listen to us, but I strongly urge you, and I'll just do it. I beg you to go look it up on your own and dig deep into it. And don't just go to Google and read the first article and say, Snopes says that's false. Oh, did they? I'm sure they did. Well, it's easy for them to call everything false. That's the truth when they're getting paid to make those statements. Dig deep into stuff. Look into it. And just for the record, the 13 people that are suing Washington, D.C., it was 13 trucks that went in there out of respect for the 13 service members that were cowardly left behind in Afghanistan by your current administration and subsequently were killed. And I'm going to add on number 14 to that number because one of the brothers that died in Afghanistan because of that whole debacle from your president, Joe Biden, one of the brothers killed himself at the memorial service for his brother because he couldn't take the pain. I am so damn tired of anybody standing up for the wrong that our government is doing, not just to one side or the other, but to all of us. The sooner you realize that the Republicans and the Democrats are the wings of the same bird, the sooner that you'll get your head out of your ass, unbury your head from the sand, and stand and join the movement that you see happening all across the world. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, then you will see the harmony. Then you will see the peace and the love. Then you will see the rid of the division. Once we get rid of this division and we stand together as human beings and not as Republicans and Democrats, not as black and white, not as gay and straight, when we stand together as human beings, you will see a beautiful world, and not until then. It'll only get worse, and I promise you that. You all have a great night, and God bless.
I see.